Several thoughts have went through my mind this week on what I might present this evening. And among them is ways that we might be able to draw closer to the Lord. And certainly, the main way is to become founded upon Jesus Christ. And I thought of the opening song that we sung, and it touched me rather deeply, the words of that hymn, as it has in times past, when I get to the end of the way. One part of that hymn concerning Jesus Christ, that he loves me too well to forsake me, and how true that is. And much that I want to bring out tonight is centered upon the plain, simple teachings of Jesus Christ. We find in some of these plain, simple teachings of Jesus Christ the statement, "Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." And I want us to think upon this particular passage of Scripture tonight. Conversion is mean to change from one form to another. It involves faith, repentance, belief, and baptism. And become as little children, the other part. And I would like to read tonight that particular scripture from which I've just brought you a few brief comments. And I want us to listen carefully to these plain, simple teachings. It's found in the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew. It involves the first six verses. And we find in the first verse, the disciples of Jesus, and they ask him the question, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him in verse 2 and set him in the midst of them. Now, I believe that the disciples of Jesus were in earnest when they asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And I expect that this probably was a surprise unto them when he chose a little child and set them in the midst of them. And then he said in verse 3, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." Now these last three verses I want to pick up a bit later. But I want to go back to verse 3. And I want us to think upon this particular verse of what this involves, because I believe here is a key that maybe, even though it's plain and we think we understand it, I believe it still is a key for our drawing closer to Jesus Christ. I believe here is the key. And it says, "Except ye be converted and become as little children." That's a plain, simple statement. Now I want to enlarge what this converted means and conversion means. And I would like to turn to 634 in the Book of Mormon. We find similar teachings to the people upon this continent as was made to the people in Jerusalem. And in verse 39, I would like to read, "And again I say unto you," again these are the words of Jesus Christ, "ye must repent," that's number one, "and become as a little child, and be baptized in my name, or ye can in no wise receive these things." Now this shows a little different sequence. Repentance, becoming as a little child, and be baptized in my name. But I believe even after baptism, now this here said, "Except ye be converted," and I believe that involves all, that man still must become and continue as a little child. And like various ones of us have said in times past, this doesn't mean in childish actions of crawling around on the floor and such as this, but it does mean the simple, plain faith that a little child has, the simple, plain trust that this little child has, this purity of attitude that these little children have. And I could go on and elaborate, but I believe those three things explain, at least to a degree, why we should become as little children. And wherein there are those who raise their children as they should, or love their children as they should, and this is what I wanted to touch upon, because there are some that do not have much concern for their little children, and that I want to touch upon a bit later. But to the normal father and mother relationship with their child, we know that the child has an explicit faith in that mother and in that father. I mean, we've watched it. Even a little babe a few days old learns to snuggle down in his mother's or his father's arms, feeling secure, even though it don't have the capability of great learning yet. It isn't there. It cannot talk. All it can do is cry for that which it wants. And maybe even yet, too young to even smile. Maybe some do and maybe some don't, but that's unimportant. But again, it's this plain, simple trust that these little children have in their parents. And it says that we are to have that kind of trust, be converted and become as a little child. And that means that our trust must be the same in God and Christ. That faith that you and I have must be there the same as a little child has. Another thing here, as we'll go on a little further here, it shows of humility along with it. And this is a trait which we each need to work upon. We need to strive for earnestly that we might have that humbleness of mind, because the natural inclination of man is otherwise. And certainly in the time that you and I live within, it is becoming increasingly more otherwise. And I think we're well aware of the teachings and philosophies of our day, which are not toward a humble attitude, which certainly does not stress meek and lowly type people. And yet Jesus Christ said, "Come unto me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." And so if he is meek and lowly in heart, he wants us to learn of him and to become similar creatures like unto him. Why do you think he walked the face of this earth other than the atoning blood that he shed for us? That was the great thing. But he also walked here to set an example. He set an example for his apostles, his disciples of old, in the way they should walk. And he intended that those disciples likewise should set examples unto the flock on the way they should walk. And I hope to touch on some of those things tonight, which I feel is a part of my reasonable responsibility to each one of you. For I feel very deeply tonight of the stress that has been placed upon the children of men by the dispensation of time that you and I live within. I feel it very strongly. But yet, the Master will not give us more than we can bear if we learn to rely upon him. If we place our simple faith in him. Not some great faith that we could attain through some higher school of learning or through the philosophies of men, that this is the way, then when really it isn't the way. And there are those who would teach and preach things that might be otherwise. But unless it's in harmony with Jesus Christ, it does not accomplish its purpose and its end. I would like to back up here a bit and read a few verses here from the same page 634. And I would like to start with verse 32. Maybe I'll just start with verse 29. Because it touches upon the teachings of Jesus Christ that I think might be beneficial to each one of us tonight. And he said, there shall be no disputations among you as there hath hitherto been. He had just before that gave them the exact way and manner of baptism and the way it should be done. And other things he had told them, but he says, he told them that there should be no disputations among them as there hitherto had been. Neither shall there be disputations among you concerning the points of my doctrine as there hath hitherto been. So he's trying to say that what he teaches is the way, and there really is no other way. For verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hath the spirit of contention is not of me, but is of the devil, who is a father of contention. And he stirreth up the hearts of men to contend with anger one with another. So it is he, lest we forget, that is causing the heartache and the anger that causes so many problems in this world today, wherein man becomes angry with his fellow beings. This is perhaps one of the key reasons of so many homes ending in divorce today. It is one reason, at least, among the many. And there is anger, and we need to pull together. And there's other things that man becomes angry. There's young people become angry with one another, and maybe parents with children, and vice versa. Now, there is a difference in raising a child up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There is a difference in correcting a child than out and out anger, because we can really correct a child without wanting to damage him, you know, in any way. But let's read on here. It is the devil who causes man to rise up in anger one with another. Behold, this is not my doctrine, said Jesus Christ when he taught these people, to stir up the hearts of men with anger one against another. But this is my doctrine, that such things should be done away. So when we think upon this, these are among the plain, simple teachings of Christ. Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, I will declare unto you my doctrine. And this is my doctrine, and it is the doctrine which the Father hath given unto me. And I bear record of the Father, and the Father beareth record of me. And the Holy Ghost beareth record of the Father and me. And I bear record that the Father commandeth all men everywhere to repent and believe in me. So that great cry of repentance has went forth to repent and believe in Jesus Christ. I have a few verses before I continue there from the third chapter of the book of Matthew. In the days of one John the Baptist, the first three verses and verses 5 and 6. We find that in this time John the Baptist was preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and his cry was, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, it is close. But note this next verse. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Esaias, which I think probably was Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. So long ago, that statement was made, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And so we find today that all too often in the teachings and philosophies of men, the paths become a crooked path. And Jesus Christ said that it is a straight and a narrow path. And along that straight and narrow path is that rod of iron, which is the representation of the Word of God, which you and I are to cling to, which man, if he clings to, can eventually lead him to the tree of life, which can be a very joyous and happy occasion. And it is a representation of the love of God. Verse 5 and 6. Then went out unto him, or unto John, Jerusalem and all Judea, and the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing. their sins. So they confessed their sins, indicating that they were sorry for what they had done that was wrong. I just wanted that little side reference. And now I want to read another verse, verse 34. In line with this repentance, "And whoso believeth in me and is baptized, the same shall be saved, and they are they who shall inherit the kingdom of God." Now again, this shows repentance and baptism and belief. And those who comply with this, theirs is the kingdom of God. But can we stop there and say all is done? And so we can be thankful tonight that we have all these wonderful, beautiful scriptures. And there's one in 2 Nephi, the 13th chapter, and it's found in verses 27 through 30. And I would like for us to consider this in conjunction with this one that we have just brought out. Because this also gives the way and the gate by which one should enter. And the way is repentance and baptism, and then cometh a remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then in verse 27, the question is asked, because you did this, can you say, all is done? Is that all that is required of me? And so somewhere along the line, maybe many may stumble and think that that is all that was required. But the answer was nay in verse 28. For ye have not come thus far, save it were for the word of Christ. So we see the importance of the word of Christ entering into the picture with unshaken faith in him. Now this is a thing that we must try to arrive at. Is that unshaken faith in him. And that's why I want to tie this all together tonight. Except ye be converted and become as a little child. That means you and I. And we must take that to heart. Faith in Christ. Relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. And so all too often, man in his learning relies upon himself. And not upon him or Jesus Christ, who is mighty to save. Wherefore ye must press forward. That indicates that there's no turning back or setting still. And so if we find ourselves, because of the press of the civilization we live in, turning back, we better revalue our lives. If we find ourselves sitting still, we better revalue our lives. We better take a careful inventory of what is in it. Because this gives the way, he says very plainly, you must press forward. And if you're pressing forward and clinging to the rod of iron, there's no way to go but to the tree of life. But if you pause, then you might slip. And the next thing you may be pressing backwards. The next thing you may listen or hearken to the, like that marvelous dream and vision, as it's called different names by both. There's a great house down there filled with men. A large building, a spacious building, with the vain imaginations of man. And some that Lehi saw from that building were pointing their finger at those who were on the straight and the narrow path. In the way of scorn, and some turned back and were lost. So that's why I wanted to stress tonight, just because you have attained the straight and narrow path, don't mean all is done, because you must press forward, just like this was taught in days of old, and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Now, I believe that that is plain of what is required. Hope and this faith and this love of God. But did it stop there? A love of all men. And that hit me tonight as I read that. It didn't say those that just do good to you, did it? It says A-L-L. Now, I'll tell you what, that takes in a lot of territory today when you consider some of the characters that are floating around that are designed to destroy men, who are following even the pursuits of Satan and such like, that are designed to destroy the civilization that we live within. And yet this says all men. That's the way I read it. Jesus Christ taught in the Sermon on the Mount. Yes, he taught the importance in part of loving one's fellow being, of loving God. But he also said to love your enemies. And that's the tough part. Pray for those that despitefully use and persecute you. And so as time unfolds, and mark this, you will see those who despitefully use and persecute you increase. You will see this. It will be more difficult. But yet, you can still pray for those same people, because that is your reasonable responsibility this night. So we have a way before us, plainly outlined, if we will but follow, that can lead us to the tree of life. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. You skip down in the next chapter to verse 4, it says, feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what ye should do. So within these words of Christ is the whole, complete way of what we should do. And we can be thankful this night that we have these wonderful scriptures to rely upon. I'm back to page 634 in the Book of Mormon, in case some of you are following it. I'd like to read verse 34 again and then go on down and read through 41. And whoso believeth in me and is baptized, the same shall be saved, and they are they who shall inherit the kingdom of God. And whoso believeth not in me and is not baptized shall be damned. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is my doctrine. That's Jesus Christ saying it. And I bear record of it from the Father. And whoso believeth in me believeth in the Father also. And unto him will the Father bear record of me, for he'll visit him with fire and with the Holy Ghost. And we've already touched a little upon that fire, that cleansing power of the fire and of the Holy Ghost. And that same Holy Ghost that is promised as an abiding comforter by the laying on of hands by those who have authority to impart it unto the children of men. It is that same comforter that can give that peace, that inner peace to the children of men. It is that same comforter which the world cannot receive because they know him not, but it can be yours if you'll enter in by the way and have the laying on of hands for the reception of the Holy Ghost. We cannot underestimate the importance of the Holy Ghost functioning in our individual lives. It is vital. There is a passage of Scripture in 2 Nephi 14:6, which says, if you will enter in by the way and receive the Holy Ghost, it will shew unto you all things what ye should do. So it can direct us in all things and show us all things what we should do. And I feel that we should so live that this power might be more functionable in our individual lives. This is part of that pressing forward and relying upon God and Christ. In verse 38, and thus will the Father bear record of me, and the Holy Ghost will bear record unto him of the Father and me, for the Father and I and the Holy Ghost are one. So says Jesus Christ, that they're one, yes, one in purpose, in action, in deed. Even as a man and wife should be one in purpose and action and deed, even though twain in flesh. And again I say unto you, you must repent and become as a little child and be baptized in my name, or ye can in no wise receive these things. Now see how plain this is. And again I say unto you, you must repent and be baptized in my name and become as a little child, or you can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that this is my doctrine. That's the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And whoso buildeth upon this, buildeth upon my rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. So if we're built upon this rock, and he says, upon my rock, and that's the rock of Jesus Christ, and his way, no matter what happens and how tough it gets, they shall not prevail against you. Even the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. Now, we're living in a time that is trying, but I'm certain it will become more trying. It's distressing in the things that are happening in our neighborhood, in the robberies and other things that are happening, and they're trying to people. It's causing unrest. And yet we have the source of a complete strength through Jesus Christ and God. And we lay down unto the Lord and ask Him to watch over us. We can lay down expecting that He is able to do it and more than willing. But it's up to us to make these initial efforts. It's up to us to take more time in these efforts. In this busy world of which we are a part, and it always seems like there's never enough time to go around. I hear this among everybody about in here that I hear talking. We run out of time constantly. There's many things we never get done. And yet the most important thing better be in your life that you're taking time to prepare to meet God and prepare the way of the Lord. Because that will bear the fringe benefits of eternal life. I would like to read a bit before I come back to this from Matthew 19, and this is found in the 13th through the 15th verses. We find in this instance that there were little children brought unto Jesus that he might put his hands on them and pray. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked those who brought these little children unto Jesus. And Jesus had this to say in verse 14, "Suffer, little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." That's what the kingdom of heaven is like, these little children. And I can see the love of parents who love their children, of the tenderness they show toward these little children, and especially the little tiny ones, and how important it is. But that tenderness should carry over into those children as they grow older. For we who are parents have got a special charge, and maybe a lot of this special charge is the fathers, but it's not the fathers alone, but the mothers. And that is to, one is to train a child up in the way he should go, and he will not depart from it when he is old. Another is to raise our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Because it's this nurture and admonition of the Lord that can carry these children as they grow up, can carry them through the temptations that are manifold about each and every person, no matter who you are or where you are. It is this hope in God. And then it says after this, he laid his hands on them and departed thence. We find this particular reading in the 10th chapter of Mark. And it's worded just a little differently, so I would like to read it as well. And this is found in verses 13 through 16, in case somebody cares to have the reference. Again, similar language concerning those who brought the little children unto Jesus. And again, the disciples rebuked those that brought them. And we find that this displeased Jesus. And he said again, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." The other time it said the kingdom of heaven. "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child." So this plainly indicates we got to receive it as a little child. And that's in that plain faith, that trust in God. Believing that God can do it, that he is able. Just the same as that little child believes that his parents will watch over him. Same as a bunch of little chickens put their trust in the old mother hen. A great hawk circles overhead and they run for the safety of the mother hen. And that hawk could tear that mother hen to shreds if it so chose. But again, they feel secure under those wings. And so it is. You and I must learn to feel secure, so to speak, even under the wings or the arm of God and Christ. for there is the only security. We might have our mate by our side and still not have security with all that is happening today. But with God by our side, we are more than equal to anything that can transpire, whatever it may be. So it's important that we receive the kingdom of God as a little child, and if we do not, he says, he shall not enter therein. And I don't know how I could put it any more plainly than Christ put it, and neither would I care to. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Those little children that were yet to reach the age of accountability and be responsible for their sins, yet Jesus Christ took them up in his arms and blessed them and invoked that power upon them that they might have that watch care with them as they would grow older. So going back again to Mark 18, I said there's a part of that that I want to, Matthew 18, the third through the sixth verses. I want to enlarge upon that a bit further at this time, as I already mentioned earlier. I mentioned earlier, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. But here is another key thing. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So those that would humble themselves as these little children, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So there is another clue tonight, and that is humility. And we're told to pray to God in humility. As Amulek of old said, yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer. And I think we've all been admonished in that particular reading enough without me going into it tonight. If you want the chapter and verse, it's in Book of Alma, 16th chapter, and verse 219 and 220, if you'd like to have it. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. And think on that. We receive a little child in the name of Jesus. We receive Jesus. And then I want you to notice this next verse, because I wanted to touch a bit upon it. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Now again, that's pretty plain language, because there are those who offend these little ones. And Jesus Christ said it'd be better for them if they had a millstone about their neck and if they were drowned in the sea, rather than they pursue such a course as that. And there are those who would take a little child and literally destroy this little child. There are those who would lay a little child aside and no more pick it up. That is happening in the society that we live in. That is a serious offense according to Jesus Christ, lest we forget. Skipping on down to verse 10 and 11 in the 18th chapter, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. So that's important. In all this, these souls of these little ones is precious. Some might be more beautiful than others in appearance, but every child is precious in the sight of God. Likewise, all mankind are. But it says, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. So that shows the status of a little child. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. Now that little child is not lost. That's what Christ said there. He's come to save those that were lost, not those whose angels behold the face of the Father in heaven. He's come to save those who sinned and are accountable of sinning. That's who he came. The little children are alive in Christ Jesus, so it is taught in other places in the Scripture, which I haven't really time to turn to tonight, but they're there, and they're plain, and they're simple. I want to just reread a couple of verses on page 634. and 6:35, verse 40 and 41. And again I say unto you, you must repent and be baptized in my name and become as a little child that I've been speaking about here, or you can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you that this is my doctrine. And whoso buildeth upon this buildeth upon my rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. So really, when we really build upon this rock of Jesus Christ, and I've touched upon a portion of it tonight, the way is outlined rather clearly. At least it appears to me that way. And I hope that each one of you may be taking it in the same light, because the way is before man to press forward, feasting upon the words of Christ. For these are the things that can tell you all things that you must do. This doctrine of Christ can lead you to the tree of life. I would like to turn over to the 8th chapter of 3rd Nephi. And this is found in verses 18 through about 27. Two or three of these verses we read today in our Sunday school class. And I'm going to touch upon the background of a few others. And little did I realize that this was a Sunday school lesson today, because I haven't been here for several Sundays. And yet, I had already written down this particular reference, and so I choose to follow it again. We find in this instance that Jesus Christ taught these people these simple, plain teachings. He saw that these people were wearied because of evidently having all this placed upon them. And so he told them to go to your homes and ponder upon these teachings and come back on the morrow and prepare your minds for the morrow. But when he looked out upon this congregation of people, a large body of people, he saw that they were in tears, as if they would that he should tarry a bit longer. And so he said, I have compassion for you. Have ye any that are sick or afflicted, or lame or halt or deaf or blind or afflicted in any manner? Bring them hither, and I will heal them. And then he had one key verse. I see that your faith is sufficient that I heal you. And there is a key there. They were humbling themselves here before the Master of men. I believe like even unto their little children. And they had faith sufficient that they could be healed. And they went forth in that belief with one accord, mind you. And with that one accord, all their sick, their afflicted, their deaf, their blind, their lame, their halt were healed. That was a marvelous and joyous experience. And then they had what I call maybe a gigantic prayer service. There was 2,500 of them here, according to the record on the next page. On page 650, it tells about it. And there were that many there. And he commanded them to kneel down upon the ground. And he uttered some great and marvelous words for them. And I would like to read from verse 18 now. And no tongue can speak, neither can there be written by any man, neither can the hearts of men conceive so great and marvelous things as we both saw and heard Jesus speak. So they saw Jesus speak these words in their behalf, and they heard Jesus speak these words in their behalf. And no one can conceive of the joy which filled our souls at the time we heard him pray for us unto the Father. And so that is a joy that you and I can't even conceive of at this moment, till we are able to partake of the similar circumstance. It says no one can conceive. So I don't expect to. But if I were there, or we could be at such a gathering as that, we could conceive, we would understand. But it must have been a marvelous experience. And it came to pass that when Jesus had made an end of praying unto the Father, he arose. But so great was the joy of the multitude that they were overcome. And so this happens oft times. And it came to pass that Jesus spake unto them and bade them arise. And they arose from the earth, and he said unto them, Blessed are ye because of what? Because of your faith. And now behold, my joy is full. That is these people here who went forward believing in one accord to be healed. And Jesus says, I see that your faith is sufficient that I should heal you. And so that faith can be yours and it can be mine. God's arm is not one bit shorter for his son Jesus Christ than it was when he taught those people as he walked upon the face of these Americas. And now behold, my joy is full, so said Jesus Christ. And when he had said these words, he wept, and the multitude bare record of it. And he took their little children one by one and blessed them and prayed unto the Father for them. Yes, that watch care, that help might be with that little child as it would grow up. And whatever words he might have used, I don't know what all he used. I only know what I have used on occasion, and it isn't always the same. And when he had done this, he wept again, and he spake unto the multitude, and saith unto them, Behold your little ones. And here's an experience that must have been marvelous. And as they looked to behold, they cast their eyes towards heaven. And they saw the heavens open. And note this, what a spectacular thing this must have been. And they saw angels descending out of heaven, as it were, in the midst of fire. Even that holy fire that is non-consuming to those who are righteous, that could consume those who are not. And they came down and encircled those little ones about. And they were encircled about with fire. And the angels did minister unto them. And the multitude did see and hear and bear record. And they know that their record is true, for they all of them did see and hear, every man for himself. And then it goes on to say that there was 2,500 souls. They did consist of men, women, and children. What a marvelous thing this was. Now we go on over here a little further, and there's so much here that I won't even attempt to cover it, but I have one more reference. And in between there, he likewise took the bread and the wine and gave unto this multitude. And then on further over here in verse 31, he says, And if you do always remember me, you shall have my spirit to be with you concerning partaking of the bread and wine in remembrance of the Son. And then in verse 46, he said to his disciples, Therefore blessed are ye if ye shall keep my commandments, which the Father hath commanded me that I should give unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye be tempted of the devil, and ye are led away captive by him. And then a further commission to his disciples, As I have prayed among you, even so shall ye pray in my church, among my people who do repent, and are baptized in my name. Behold, I am the light. I have set an example for you. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto his disciples, he turned again unto the multitude and said unto them, Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye enter into temptation. So there, further charge of things we must do. For Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Yes, Satan desires to have man, that he may destroy his very soul. But there is a way around that, and that is to watch and pray always, lest we enter into temptation. And whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. Now that is plain again. Asking that which is right, believing it shall be given. If you ask in faith, it shall be given unto you. That's what Jesus said. And he also said, Pray in your families unto the Father, always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed. A special charge to fathers to pray in their families. But like I've told some mothers, maybe some fathers might not take that responsibility, and so it would fall the mother to do it. And behold, ye shall meet together oft, a further responsibility, and ye shall not forbid any man from coming unto you when ye shall meet together. But suffer them that they may come unto you, and forbid them not. But ye shall pray for them. That's those that are pleased to come and worship with us. We shall pray for them, and shall not cast them out. And if it so be that they come unto you off, ye shall pray for them unto the Father in my name. Therefore, hold up your light, that it may shine unto the world. And that is the charge he gave those people of old, to hold up their light that it may shine unto the world. And that is a charge that we got today, to hold up our light that it may shine unto the world. Behold, I am the light, Jesus Christ said, which ye shall hold up, and that which ye have seen me do. So those are the things that we're to hold up unto the children of men. That light that we've seen Jesus Christ hold up. Thank you.